Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm glad you're here. Susan Steinbrecher is here, too, ladies and gentlemen. Susan's a great member of our Brain Trust. She's a business consultant and author of more than one book, including a new one, Kensho, A Modern Awakening, Instigating Change in an Era of Global Renewal, and she is the CEO of Steinbrecher & Associates, and she's our good friend, Susan Steinbrecher. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. I'm excited to be with you today.
Good to have you back. So, are you worried about the communication scenario, the situation we have with humanity these days?
Yeah, I really am. I mean, I think we all are seeing in our world today that we sort of have a divided society, unfortunately. And what we're really up to with our work that we call meaningful alignment is try to heal that divided society one conversation at a time.
Why does it need to be healed?
Well, because I think people are not on the, they're not aligned. They're not, you know, there's a lot of folks, as you see, more conflict probably now more than ever.
Who are the sides?
You see it in the workplace. I'm sorry?
Who are the sides? When you say, if you're healing sides, there's somebody on one side. Are we talking Gen X and, I mean, Gen Y and baby boomers? Who are we talking about?
Well, it can be, there's so many. I mean, there's sometimes conflict because of different generations in the workplace. We see that in, we see this in racial relations. We see this in families. We see this in millennials against baby boomers. You see it all over. And I think that's where we have to come together and start having the real authentic conversations. And people are often they're texting or they're emailing. They're not really talking to one another.
Right.
And so that creates a lot of divide. And
what do you
need
think
to have
is
the
causing
conversation.
It?
Well, I think people lack sometimes the confidence, competence, and comfort to sit down and have a conversation when they know that they're not on the same page with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of the fear of the unknown of what's going to happen in that conversation. Can I, you know, manage my own emotional composure? What happens? What's going to happen with this person when I approach this conversation? So often people just avoid it altogether, and of course that never works.
Can I offer my thoughts on this?
Of course.
I think that we have devolved into a content rich environment. Our world, we're being hit like a fire hose with content, especially the young generations, and that is where the content, as you know, is full of sound bites. And if I've got a lot of sound bites, if I got a lot of content and sound bites, then as long as I can keep those things running, then I can hold you off. But what's missing is the context, because inside of context is intellectual honesty. Because if we're going to have a real conversation about the discussion and not just sound bites, not just little factoids that we're throwing at each other, if we're actually going to get into the body of what the issue is, then at some point in time, I've got to say, you know, I see your point about that, and I think people are increasingly uncomfortable with that. They're admitting that I might actually, or you might actually be right. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I think you're on to something in a very significant way. I think the technology, as good as it has served us in many ways, where it hasn't, is we've sort of relegated to this kind of text situation, and we're not really listening. We're not really sitting present, fully in the moment, really taking in what somebody has to say. We're already rehearsing in our mind what we're going to say back, but we haven't really even heard the person thoroughly.
Because I'm loading up my soundbite. Let me give you, here's a perfect example. Climate change.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm not a climate change denier. I'm a climate change skeptic. Mm-hmm. And so, but every time I talk about this conversation comes up with people who are total zealots and advocates and religious people about climate change. Every time there's a flood, every time there's a drought, every time there's a storm, that what they say to me is, see?
Right.
No, that's right. That's it. See? We said this was going to happen. It's, instead of us having a conversation about, well, wait a minute, you know, does this really, is it really climate change or is it just weather? You know, and I'm only using that as an example, not to bring up the topic.
No, I think you're absolutely right. I think what you're really hitting on is critically important. Is people come to the conversation with their own belief systems, their own backgrounds, their own history, their family of origin. And often we think, if I sit down and say to this person, here are all the facts here that support my case, surely if you listen to the facts, you're going to agree with me. More times than not, they won't, because they can come up with their own facts and their own belief system, which is why it's so difficult to sit down and really have the conversation where you're really open and listening to what somebody has to say, taking that into consideration, and then from that making a discernment or making a decision. More times than not, we're really more people are interested in just presenting their case and trying to cram that down somebody else's throat.
Right, and for me to be right, 100% right. Another thing I'm concerned about, I want to ask you about, is what I'm going to call technology sequestration. And by that I mean, when I was a kid, I'm a baby boomer, when I was a kid, whether the communication was with my grandparents or with my parents or my friends, it was always just like you and I are doing right now. But the technology has given some generations has sequestered them, has roped them off. So, for example, if there's a young person, they might not want to talk to me like you and I are talking right now because they'd rather be texting with their friends. So the
right.
So I'm not. They look at me as if, well, obviously he's old. He doesn't text. So why would I want to talk to him?
I understand.
That's
exactly
going on too, isn't it?
Well, sure it is. Sure it is. In fact, you know, we coach so many executives and we say to them, listen, you know, a phone is a tool to be picked up, to be used when it's appropriate and put down like any tool.
Right.
And so when you go to dinner and you take your wife to dinner, please don't bring your phone with you. I mean, what could possibly happen in that 2-hour dinner that could not be addressed when you get finished with dinner?
Look at the holiday dinners where everybody had their phone out this time. I told my bunch they had to leave the phone off the table. All phones had to stay in the cars or in the purses or something. Susan, I need your website, please.
It's steinbrecher.com, steinbrecher.com.
Kinsho, that's the name of the new book, Kinsho. She and I will be right back. More on this after these messages. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.